plans for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined today by Spike Friedman. And there's a little bit of news today. We're going to chop it up about the Pete Carroll press conference yesterday, and also someone that's coming in for a workout today. So I'll kick it to Spike. You'll learn how he's feeling today. You'll feed off of his energy, kind of like we feed off Pete Carroll. So I'm going to throw it to Spike right now.
Woo! Yeah, we're talking press conferences.
All right. Yeah. I don't know if your role today is to be the hype man of the podcast, but it's something that we can try out. Like I said last week, we're still
try
in the early
it
stages.
Out.
All right. Okay, so Spike turning into Flavor Flav was not something that I was anticipating this morning, but you know, it's welcome. Like I said, you know, we can try it out and see what you guys think. You guys can talk to us on Twitter at Locked On Seahawks. Send in your reviews about Spike's hype man abilities, and so we'll take in all your questions. So yeah, just send them over. So we'll get into it. I guess the biggest news is Dwight Freeney, defensive end. He's 37 or 36 years old, and he's one of the all-time greatest pass rushers in the league. He's got probably the nastiest spin move that the league has ever seen. He played last for the Falcons. He had a sack in the Super Bowl, and he's been floating around in free agency. He hasn't landed quite yet, and the Seahawks have an open roster spot, and so they're bringing him in for a workout, and they're going to put him through a physical and see where he ends up on the roster, if he makes it, if he doesn't. Spike, immediately, what do you think Dwight Freeney could add to the Seahawks team?
I think he can add hitting the opposing quarterback. For all the good that the Seahawks defense has done this year, and it's really rounding into form as a clear top five unit by most statistical measures at this point, and that's including an uncharacteristic giving up of three explosive runs against Tennessee that have sort of dragged down the numbers over the course of the year. The unit is really good. We're not sacking quarterbacks. You know what Dwight Freeney does? He comes in on third down and he sacks quarterbacks. He did it last year for Atlanta, both at the end of the regular season and through their playoff run. I believe by PFF or Football Outsiders, one of them, he was the third most efficient pass rusher in the postseason last year. So he's still got stuff left in the tank. He's a great potential mentor for the team. As you mentioned, he's got the best spin move maybe in NFL history. And he, you know, we've looked at sort of the chain reaction of where snaps have to go with Cliff Averill out likely for the year. And if Averill snaps are going to Clark, Clark's are going to Marcus Smith and Brandon Jackson, and then things get like where are their snaps going. You know, more rotation is always good. Michael Bennett has a foot injury. The more rest he could get, especially on third down, would be great. So it's just great. You always want more pass rushers. You
exactly.
always want more pass rushers.
Exactly.
So I love it.
And I think, you know, it was clear that Dwight Freeney would really only be like a situational pass rusher, come in on third down when they need to pin their ears back and get to the quarterback. And I think the main beneficiary is Frank Clark in this situation. I mean, apart from the whole defensive line getting a guy like Freeney in the room, is because he can learn so much from him. You see, you know, he kind of struggled at times against New York's left tackle, and he was just kind of running at him with a bull rush, and just some finesse would be nice. And you see how much Frank learns from Cliff. He kind of gushed about him and said, like, no, he's seeing stuff on the field that Clark doesn't see, and he lets him know, and he just he soaks in so much information from Cliff. So another mind like that that can observe the game, that has seen so much, can only benefit Frank Clark and the rest of the line.
Yeah, No, I mean, do it. Like, we only have $1.7 million left in cap space, so we'd probably have to use the bulk of that on Freeney, which I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't think we're going to find – clearly Brandon Albert's not coming. You know, like, I don't think we're going to find a guy at offensive tackle for that price that's going to make a huge impact at this point. So you might as well shore up where you can, get better on defense, you know, give yourself more margin for error on offense. It's not a zero-sum game. I mean, right now, if you look at expected points added, Brian Burke just put up a chart of expected points added on offense and defense. The Seahawks have, again, a top five unit on defense. The Jaguars are sort of head and shoulders one, but we're right there alongside the Chiefs and the Steelers and a couple other teams in that 2-5 range. And then we have a league average offense so far, and that's with a offensive line that has looked terrible so far, but has gotten better over the last few weeks, and a running game that still hasn't found its footing, but, you know, like, we're gonna figure it out a little better. We have to. We're bound to. And hopefully Jimmy Graham stops dropping the ball all the time. So, like, we're already a league average offense and an elite defense. If the defense can be more elite, a league average offense can get us to where we need to be, especially given that we know that a lot of what is making us league average is a running game, but Russell Wilson is still a well above average quarterback and can keep us in games, won't make those sort of late mistakes that will knock us out of games. And I think, throw the resources at something that they can make an impact. Dwight Freeney will make an impact.
Exactly. I agree. I think that, and like we said, like, the league average offense is being drugged down by plays that could have gone either way, like high leverage plays that could have put points on the board. And so we've seen we're a couple plays away from, you know, having those numbers, you know, exponentially higher. And I don't know whether, you know, it could pan out either way for Dwight Freeney. He could come in and be exactly what we want, or, you know, we can see him, you know, come in and be a little out of shape, and he could not have that pass rush effectiveness that he had in the late season last year. And so you don't know. He's 37 years old, and it could not turn out very well. And we have to think like that because we're Seahawks fans. Everything, the sky's constantly falling.
I guess. I will say, like, I guess there's the Seahawks fan thing that's like the sky's constantly falling, but like on defense, it isn't. Right. Like, on defense, like, especially, like, bringing in veteran linemen, like, we brought in Kevin Williams, and he made a positive impact. You know, it's the one place where bringing in free agents has really worked for this team, whether it's been various Clinton McDonald experiments and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill were both free agents. It's the one place where we've done a really good job allocating free agent resources. If they bring in Freeney, see he's got something left, can come to an agreement on a contract, I can't see it being anything other than a boon.
Yeah, well, you're doing a very bad job of letting me be a pessimist about this.
Well, we can talk about the running game, and I will free up to be a pessimist all you want.
Oh, no, we've spent far too much time, and it's something that Pete Carroll, I mean, you read into the Carrollology, and he says... Yeah. He's asked about how the running game's doing, and he's like, we're going. And, like, they need to keep pushing and really get it going still. And someone that Pete Carroll mentioned by name is CJ Procise, and he didn't appear to be too happy about CJ Procise only playing two snaps and then not being able to go. Spike, take us through the Pete Carroll press conference and read into the Carrollology.
Yeah, so Pete Carroll, you got to read into what he's saying in his press conferences. And he was asked about using four different running backs on the first four plays from scrimmage in Sunday's game against the Giants. And he was like, at first he's like, it's sort of nothing. And then he's like, yeah, but one of those guys just couldn't hold up. And I was like, oh, that pricked my ears because I'm like, Pete, who? Oh, that's right. CJ Procise, he was out. And then he's like, I thought he only played one play, played two plays. I don't know. So that's not a very strong thing. And then he's like, he didn't re-injure himself. He wasn't ready to go. You know, we're going to learn from what happened. You know, I think he's going to be ready to practice, but I can't say whether or not he's going to play next week. And that's all very much Pete Carroll being audibly frustrated with CJ Procise's ability to recover from injuries. And honestly, it read or it sounded to me Like, he's questioning CJ Procise's grit. And once Pete Carroll questions your grit, that's a problem. That's, like, not the sort of thing that guys on his team, like, come back from. And so it's an interesting situation with Procise where you almost feel like Seahawks fans this week when Jimmy Graham had that big drop in the middle of the field, like, all of us sort of, like, cracked on him. I think it was discussed that Mina Kimes, like, was like, my watch for the Jimmy Graham is over. Like, she gave up on Jimmy Graham. And I get it. But I think Pete Carroll this week, I don't think he's given up on Jimmy Graham yet. I think what he saw from Jimmy Graham in the second half showed grit. He even talks in this press conference about how Thomas Rawls, he complains about Thomas Rawls fumbling less than he complains about Jimmy Graham, or not Jimmy Graham, sorry, CJ Procise not hanging in through an injury. That's a fumble. That's a turnover. And he's like, yeah, but he got his head turned and the helmet just hit the ball. It's one of those things. That doesn't happen. See, I mean, Pete Carroll hates turnovers, and he's like, Thomas Rawls, you're fine. You got grit. CJ Procise, you're not fine. You don't got grit. So I have a feeling that CJ Procise is genuinely in Pete Carroll's doghouse. Whatever is going on with Thomas Rawls, I think he's going to start to be more of a featured back, maybe in a 60-40 share with Eddie Lacy on first and second down carries, and then JD McKissick as the clear number, as the clear third down back. I mean, I don't know if Procise works his way back into the squad. I don't know if Procise is a risk of getting cut at some point. Like, that's sort of the feeling I'm getting, or IR'd, or, you know, like, I don't know that Procise is part of the long-term plans for the team anymore. That's how much Pete Carroll being like, I don't know. That's how much that flagged for me.
Yeah, he was audibly frustrated with Procise, and I think he expressed some of the sentiment that Seahawks Twitter has been expressing throughout the season with, you know, being patient with CJ Procise. It's escaping Pete Carroll, and he's CJ Procise by the day is, you know, losing ground in the running back competition. You know, it's yeah. A running
well, and
back.
I want to be clear that Pete Carroll said none of what I just said. I'm completely reading into the subtext of what he said. You know, and often, he said the words, but you got to read into the subtext, man.
Yeah, because oftentimes Pete Carroll is so positive that, like, he could completely diss you and you would be like, oh, like what a nice guy. Like, you have to really read in and think about what he's saying. And so, like I was saying, CJ Procise is losing ground in that running back competition that's very much in flux, and he should very much be in the talk of it, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field. So that was disappointing. But Justin Britt showed grit. He got injured and came back and finished the game. And you see that kind of performance as opposed to CJ Procise, and you're like, all right, well, that's what you're supposed to do, and especially in Pete Carroll's mind, obviously, now.
Yeah,
and
it's clear in Pete Carroll's mind. I mean, I will say, like, as me, like, as, like, a dude who's not Pete Carroll and not a professional football player, like, for CJ Procise to be what we want him to be, he needs to be laterally explosive. And if his ankle isn't there, it's not there, and he's not going to be good. So, like, I get it from Procise's perspective, where he's like, it's not happening for me today. For Justin Britt, though, I mean, Pete said, so he's got a lateral ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain. He likely won't practice until Friday. He might not practice at all this week. He's going to be questionable. I think he's going to play, but he might not. And Grant, what do you think happens if we don't have Justin Britt, who's been our most consistent and productive offensive lineman this year?
Well, first we cry, and then we kind of wipe our eyes and see the depth chart and look who's filling in for him. And, you know, right away, the first man up is Ethan Posick. And in the limited amount of snaps he got, because he was sharing snaps with Mark Lewinsky last week at left guard, he didn't look bad. I think he was a 79 overall grade by PFF. And he played well. I'll say that he played well in a performance that the whole offensive line played well. And you're going up against a Texans team without J.J. Watt, without Whitney Mercilus, and so their playbook is going to be simplified. It's not going to be super simple, but we were saying off-air that it's going to be simplified. And if there's a week where you throw in Posick and hope to be all right, it may be this week before you have to go face, you know, the Eagles or the Jaguars or the Rams again. So
yeah,
I think Postic could be serviceable. He played, I think, one or two snaps at center, and then that was that for the rest of the game as Britt came back. So you have him go with the first team all week, and you kind of get that chemistry down a little more with Russ, so you don't have those errant snaps or those missed time snaps, and you kind of see what happens. But like you, I think Justin Britt will go, and we won't really have to worry about the Ethan Postic experiment at center right now.
Yeah. Well, and I'll also say this, reading into what Pete was saying about Glowinski and Postic, he was pretty effusive in his praise of Postic. And with regards to Glowinski, he's like, yeah, he played like we expect Glow to play. And which makes me think that we are heading towards Postic getting more snaps. I wonder what happens when Jokel comes back. I wonder if Postic challenges for snaps at left guard. I wonder if they just see him as a right side player. I don't. Oh, no, they've got him at left guard. So I wonder if he challenges for snaps at right guard. So I wonder. I don't know. I mean, he looked great. You watch him dealing with stunts and communicating with Britt. Coleman Crawford on Twitter always does a really good rundown of some of the big offensive line play in terms of, in GIF form every week. He's Coleman 3SD there, and you can watch Postic really, really play well. Glow plays fine. I mean, the line as a whole played pretty well against the Giants, but I don't know. It's like crazy that Postic hasn't played more this year. He's good.
It's kind of like the Texans quarterback battle throughout the whole season and offseason. You kind of wonder, how the hell did Deshaun Watson not get like the starting job right away?
Yeah.
And it's fitting because we play the Texans this week. And I'm hoping we score some touchdowns against them. And something that we haven't seen this season from the Seahawks, really, is elaborate touchdown celebrations. We see it throughout the league. We see the Eagles and their baseball celebration. We see the Steelers playing hide and seek amongst other great touchdown celebrations. And you wonder, okay, Seahawks, what do you have in store? And so we're going to come up with some touchdown celebrations for the Seahawks. So when they get in the end zone and they listen to this podcast, because we know they do, obviously, they can hear it and they can put it to life. So my first one is that you have a dunk contest with Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
And you maybe put a prop in there like Tyler Lockett. He's a smaller guy. Jimmy Graham's a bigger guy. And you have Jimmy Graham jump over Tyler Lockett and dunk it into a teammate's arms, because they are still not allowed to dunk on the field goal post, which I am very, very upset about still. And so you have to dunk it into a teammate's arms. Or maybe you put a teammate on the shoulders of a teammate.
Well, and I was thinking when you said Lockett is small, I'm like, why isn't he the ball? Why isn't Jimmy Graham dunking Tyler Lockett?
Well, because traditionally in football, you have a ball already.
Oh, that's a good point. But that's a good. I mean, that is traditional. You're right.
Right, but maybe you know the referee takes the ball away like right away. Like someone mistakenly gives the ball away.
Anything happens, you know. Get ready.
Now, in that situation, maybe you dunk a helmet, but a teammate would probably be a lot more fun. Like the theatrics would be higher.
Yeah. All right, I got one.
Let's hear it.
You ready?
Not really, but let's go.
You're not going to be ready because this involves us beating the Raiders in the Super Bowl. And then miming handing the ball to Marshawn, running over and handing it to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Too real? You weren't ready.
That got really real. And as long as we're winning the Super Bowl, I mean, any celebration, it would be great in my mind. We're in the end zone, scoring touchdowns. You know, do whatever you please.
Run over and hand the ball to Marshawn, baby.
And then
Let's do it.
And then shake everyone's hands just for Marshawn.
Yeah. Yeah. You just keep going. You just keep
through the whole team's roster. You just go and shake everybody's hands. I think out of everyone to do that, who would be the closest to Marshawn? Thomas Rawls?
Closest like friend wise to Marshawn?
Well, in position group, because like if you hand the ball to a running back, like out of everybody, it'd be Thomas Rawls because
run over to the Raiders bench.
Oh yes, yes. After you score the touchdown, yeah, you hand the ball to Marshawn.
Oh, who's scored? No, we're scoring on a slant.
Okay. There we go. All right.
It'll be Doug Baldwin this time.
Second one I have is you get all the offensive line in the end zone. You get Amara Darboh. He's pretty tall. And You play keep away from Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
He's just jumping around trying to get the ball. He really can't do it, and you wonder if he's going to get the ball. He eventually doesn't. Yeah, it'll probably be a passing play. You want him to, you're rooting for him to get the ball because like he was like an integral part of that. But at the same time, like it's too funny. Like you don't want to see him get the ball.
Yeah.